influence the other person. So you just walk with them. Do you have some of this to have? You have? Yeah.
First, as the back goes on west,
so I'm going to
come back up my experience. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yep. Okay, yeah. So I suppose we can start. So I just want to maybe just give some very simple, as usual, brief instructions again. And the one thing that I often like to talk about is this idea of the middle way in meditation practice. Because the middle way is not something that just applies, not just the Eightfold Path as a whole, which is the middle way, but the middle way, you can also apply that concept, that idea, to meditation practice itself. And it's a very, of course, if it applies to the whole Eightfold Path, because meditation is part of the Eightfold Path, it also needs to apply to meditation practice. Because one of the problems that I have seen in lots of meditators, and I see it around the world in meditation centers in so many different places, I've seen it in my own meditation practice as well over the years, and that one problem that people often face is that, of course, there's a problem of pain, the problems of the body being uncomfortable. And in my opinion, far too often people sit with too much pain in the body, with too many problems, too many things, too many discomforts. They're not really at ease, they're not relaxed in the body. And because they're not at ease, not relaxed, I think very often that is one reason why they fail in meditation practice. And even if they don't fail, they don't go as far as they could go otherwise if they were more at ease and more relaxed and more at peace with a meditation. And this seems to be, to me, it seems to be one of those things about almost like the human psyche, that we seem to think that spiritual practice somehow must come through difficulty or pain in one way or another. And you see this around the world. You saw it at the time of the Buddha, of course. At the time of the Buddha, you had all the Hindu or Indian ascetics who practiced self-mortification, ascetic practices, torturing the body. You saw it in Christianity. You've seen it. I think you see it in so many cultures, this idea that spiritual practice somehow must involve pain, physical pain. And I think the idea is that you're trying somehow to negate the body. You want to release the soul from the body or something. And because you want to negate the body, you have this idea that pain is the way of somehow moving away from the body towards a spiritual reality instead. So it's very deep. It seems to be very deeply embedded in us. And I think it's deeply embedded in lots of Buddhist people as well, or just meditation practitioners. This idea that we always, that we are, think pain is a good thing, and pain is going to somehow be useful in our meditation practice. But of course, the Buddha, when he laid out his path, the first thing he said in the very first discourse was, we need to go the middle way, the middle path. And that middle path is away from pain, away from physical self-mortification, from trying to almost like destroy the body through pain. So this is important. And what this means in practice, in meditation, is that we need to be at ease. We need to be relaxed. We need to be comfortable. We need to make sure that we don't have these pains that actually distract us in the body. So when you sit today and when you sit otherwise, be very aware of the pain. Be very aware of not falling into the trap of thinking that you have to sit in a certain position and endure the pain in that position. Or that if you sit in your natural position and you have some pain that you can't move or you can't change, but you have to endure what is happening right now. If you go through any of those things, then quite likely you're on the wrong path. Because what happens if you have pain? First of all, how do you know that it's too much pain and that you shouldn't be bearing with it? Of course, a little bit of discomfort is always going to happen. But the way that you know it is too much pain and too much trouble is if your mind tends to go back to that pain, tends to move to the pain, and you tend to actually focus on the pain in the body. And what happens then, if the mind tends to focus on that, one of two things tend to happen. The first thing that happens is that the mind wants to get away from the pain. So you start to fantasize, or you get into dullness, or restlessness, and all of these things are just escapes from the pain. That is one possibility. And of course, if you get into fantasy or dullness, you are moving away from mindfulness. You're no longer mindful. You're no longer here in the present moment. So that is exactly the opposite of what you want to be doing here. Alternatively, what happens if you are in pain, another way of looking at it, is that the mind focuses on the body. There is a problem there. There's something you don't like. And because there's something you don't like, because there's a problem, the mind goes out to the body to focus on that problem. It gets obsessed with the pain in the body. And because of that obsession, that focus, your mind is actually on the body rather than being centralized and happy inside of yourself. And of course, what we don't want to be focused on the body. Meditation is about getting away from the body. It's about going inside of yourself into a peaceful, nice, hopefully even blissful place. That is what we're trying to aim at. So if you find yourself focusing on the body because of pain, then it is not working. It's going the wrong direction. So this is why this thing is so important. And then the other side, of course, of the middle way, the other extreme, is the indulgence. Now, when you meditate, you're sitting on the floor or sitting on the chair, it's very difficult to really indulge too much. Of course, if you find yourself perhaps being too comfortable, if you're lying on a soft bed or whatever, and you're really indulging, and again, what happens right there is that, again, the mind goes out to the body. Because you're indulging, it means that you're finding happiness, you're finding pleasure in the body. So the mind goes out to the body again to find pleasure there. So if you have too much pain, if you have too much pleasure in the body, in both cases, what happens? The mind goes to the body. Either there's a problem to be solved, or there is a pleasure to be gotten from the body. Both cases are not going to work. So that is why the middle way, when you have neither, the body does not have any pain in it, nor is there any pleasure to be derived from the body. What happens then? Well, the body tends to disappear, because the body has no purpose anymore, nor is there a problem to be solved, nor is there any pleasure to be had. So the body tends to fade away. So that is why this middle path works, because it actually allows you to go inside of yourself. It allows you to find that space in the mind where the body is not important and where the body can disappear. And that is where you will find the peaceful and the happy meditation practices. So focus on this. And of course, once you do that, you will find that many of the mental problems will also resolve themselves. Because if you have too much pain or you have too much indulgence, then either you have sensuality or you have the escape from the pain, which again can be fantasies, it can be sloth and torpor or whatever. So even some of the mental issues, the mental problems, some of the hindrances you have will also disappear if you get the body right in the meditation practice. Don't think that you have to compete with anybody. Meditation is not about sitting longer than the person next to you or sitting in a better posture or whatever. It's about your practice. It's about your ability to become peaceful. It's about your ability to enjoy yourself and have a good time and to have a small holiday from all the troubles that we otherwise face in our lives. So don't compete with anybody. Just ask yourself, what makes progress in my meditation possible? How is my meditation going to move forward? That is the only thing you need to be concerned about. Ask that question and then take the action that is necessary based on that question, not based on what anybody else is doing around you. So look after yourself. Don't worry about other people. Okay, so let's try and do a little bit of meditation together here. Okay, so close your eyes. And you start off as usual by just making sure that you feel nice and at ease, nice and comfortable. There's no problem anywhere. There's no tension in the body. Just look for the tension first of all, in case you have accumulated some tension or some stress in the body, and allow that stress to release first of all. So check out the stomach region, and if you have any stress there, take a few deep breaths. And then allow the stress to come out as you breathe out. And check your shoulder areas, and again ask yourself, is there any tightness, any discomfort there? And imagine yourself breathing in through your shoulders, and as the breath goes out, allow yourself to relax 100%. Feel your face, and if there's any tension anywhere in your face, you can allow the tension to relax. Imagine yourself breathing in through the tension, and then as you breathe out, allowing everything just to relax, nice and easy, nice and beautiful and peaceful. And as you are relaxing, I'd like you to check your body one more time. Make sure that your body feels very nice and at ease, very relaxed. There's no major problems anywhere. Sort of the point where the body doesn't really matter anymore. The body becomes completely irrelevant. Whether it's there or not there is completely beside the point. At that point, you know that the body is just about right. There's no pain, nor are you indulging in any way. That is the right posture for you. And as you allow yourself to find the peace and find the calm, just allow yourself to notice the peace of the present moment. And as you see the peace, then focus very softly, very gently on that peace, and allow that peace to grow in your mind. And as the peace grows, there may come a point when the breath appears in your perception. And when the breath appears due to the peace of the mind, then place carefully, very gently, place your attention on that breath. So you go stage by stage. First you find the peace, the mindfulness. Then when the breath comes all by itself, only then you place your attention very gently onto the breath. And then you allow things gradually, slowly to develop from there. Okay, so that's the end of the meditation, so please come out and sit nice and comfortably here. Anybody here have any questions before I take any from outside this place, outside of here? Yeah. Everybody happy? Yeah? Okay. Anything you want to ask about? Yes?
Is that the same as kind of everything in moderation?
Sorry, could you say that again, please?
Talking about taking the middle path, the same kind of meaning as everything in moderation?
Everything in moderation, yeah. In a sense, it's not so much everything in moderation, it's more like the right attitude of mind, really. And the thing that you should have in moderation are the things which hinder your practice. That's what you want to have as moderately as possible. You want to have few things that hinder your practice. So look at what is causing problems in your practice. And one of the things that will cause problems, and this is part of the awakening story of the Buddha, that one of the problems is precisely pain in the body, because it distracts you from actually where you want to go. It takes you out of the body rather into the mind. So it's not so much moderation, it's more like you want to avoid certain things. And one of those things is the painful feelings in the body. Apart from that, yes, sometimes there is a little bit of pain, and sometimes you have to sort of try to sit with that pain a little bit to see what happens. If you move every time there's the slightest irritation, you're going to be moving all the time. What you have to do is you have to judge for yourself when it goes too far. So if you find that your mind goes back to the pain again a few times, that is probably the time to change your posture or to do something else. It's true. Some sort of balance there. You have to find that. Okay, is there anything else anybody wants to ask, bring up? Okay, so we'll just take a few questions from people over the internet. So this is from Isabel from London, and she asks, when I manage to get a few seconds of silence, my mind then says, well done, you've been silent for 10 seconds. And then the silence is broken, and my thoughts start again. What should I do? Any help with this? This is quite common. And one of the things that I think many meditators also find is that when your mind becomes silent, it becomes also very powerful. You feel a sense of ability to think that you haven't had before. The mind becomes very clear, very bright. And that brightness makes you want to think, because now you can really apply yourself. Now your thoughts are precise to the point and all these kind of things. And that is true. And that is one of the benefits of meditation practice, is that your thinking, it gets much more powerful and much more directed through that kind of practice. I guess part of the problem here is this idea of well done. So what you have to do is just to remind yourself it's good to say well done, but try to say the well done after the meditation is over. After you finish the sit, that's when you should say well done. That's when you should evaluate your sitting and to make sure that you are right, doing the right thing. So try to avoid that. And I guess many of these things are just a matter of experience. After a while, you've had that perception of silence for a while. You don't really feel like saying well done anymore. It becomes like a natural thing in the mind, and you don't actually have to congratulate yourself verbally. You're just satisfied with the peace. The peace is beautiful. There's no need to say anything beyond that. So just enjoy the peace, enjoy the satisfaction of being peaceful, and try to just enjoy the feeling. Focus on the feeling of peace, and then maybe that will take away the verbalization that comes into the mind. Okay, so that was the first one. Next question here is from Rohanta from Sri Lanka. And he says here that during a 10-day retreat, I felt tremor in my body. When I came back home after a few days' break, just as I sat for my meditation, I felt these vibrations again. Also, when I listen to the Dhamma sermons, I feel these tremors. They make me uneasy. Okay, so what you have to ask yourself in these cases, all kind of things can happen in your meditation practice, all kind of perceptions can arise, the body can do strange things, your perceptions, the way you look at things can become strange. And what you need to ask yourself is, are you moving in the right direction? Are you becoming more peaceful? Are you becoming more clear? Is mindfulness becoming established? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling at ease? Are you feeling relaxed? And if you find that your mind is in a good, going in a good direction, is going in the right way, then you don't have to worry about these tremors. Because these tremors might just be, there can be many reasons why the tremors are there. It can be that something in your body is relaxing or trying to relax as you become more peaceful. And this might be a side effect of that relaxation of the muscles doing something. Or maybe the tremors could be a sense of piti. You know, piti is the sense you have inside, the joy and happiness and raptures that can arise in meditation practice. And sometimes I can feel like a tremor in the body, like the body is vibrating almost, like it's something going through the body. And if it is that, it's a wonderful thing. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's something that you should focus on and actually enjoy. And this is part of the path to samadhi, this piti. You cannot have samadhi. You cannot have real success in meditation without that joy coming up inside of you. So if it is that, it's wonderful. It's perfectly fine. But again, the most important thing in meditation is that look at the mind. If the states that are arising in the mind are positive, if you're feeling better about yourself, if you're feeling more relaxed, more at ease, mindfulness is improving, and all qualities are going in the right way, then there's nothing to be afraid of. If, however, you find that you're getting confused or deluded, or you're getting angry or have lots of desire, well, then, of course, your meditation is going the wrong way. It's not working. And then you have to find out why. And in that case, maybe the tremor is a sign that something is not going in the right way. But go back to your mind. What is happening in the mind? If it's good, fine. If it's bad, well, then you need to do something. Okay, so then there is a question from David in Sweden, and he says, Ajahn, what is the differences of lying down, sitting, and walking meditation? Is sitting meditation more beneficial for the purification of the mind? Thanks. The answer is that the two types of meditation that are mentioned by the Buddha in the suttas are sitting meditation and walking meditation. Lying down is not really considered a meditation posture in the suttas. It is more like if you lie down, you have clear mindfulness, but it's not actually a meditation posture as such. And both sitting meditation and walking meditation have their place on the Buddhist path. Remember what Buddhism is about, what this meditation is about. It's always about purifying yourself. It's about reducing the negative tendencies of the mind and increasing the good ones. This is the whole purpose of meditation practice. So whatever practice you do that reduces the defilements and the negative aspects of the mind, whatever practice you do that improves the good aspects of the mind, that is right practice. So if you are doing walking meditation, perhaps you are too restless to sit down, perhaps you have too much thinking going on, perhaps you are feeling tired, so you want to do something active. Now whatever you do in that walking meditation, and if that, what, say you do metta practice while you walk, which you can do, then whatever practice you do there that reduces those negative states of mind, that is right practice. If you walk back and forth and you just think about, and you try to overcome any negativity or anger you have, if you walk back and forth trying to overcome your restlessness, if you walk back and forth trying to be peaceful, if you walk back and forth and you use your perceptions to build up a perception of peace, to build up a perception of non-anger, to build up a perception of metta, and if you do that while you walk in meditation and it achieves the goal, then you're going in the right direction. So the purpose of meditation, whether it works or not, should be measured by what happens in your meditation practice. If you are improving, then it's going the right way. If you're not improving, something is wrong and you need to assess whether maybe you should do things differently. And don't judge yourself by one sit or one walk. Judge yourself over a period of time, a few weeks, perhaps even a few months. And then, if things are happening, you know it's going in the right direction here. But remember the purpose of all these things. The purpose is purification. The purpose is to improve your mental state. And if you keep that in mind, then you should have the right kind of key to decide whether walking is right or sitting is right or whatever is suitable on that particular occasion here. Okay, so I hope that answered those questions reasonably well there. Good. Anything else anybody want to ask you? Hugh, yeah.
Hi, Jan. I just, on you talking about walking meditation and sitting meditation.
Yeah.
I understand that maybe walking meditation you could use if you're a bit agitated and you want to slow down before you actually sit. Maybe that's another way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point. You're saying that walking meditation is better if you're agitated. That's very true. So, and this is my point really, it's whatever works, you know. So if you are too agitated to sit, you do something else because the walking might be more beneficial for you. Very often people find that sitting might be too difficult or too refined. You might not want to sit, so you do something else instead. But use that walking meditation in a beneficial way, and then you're fine. And the same thing with sitting meditation. You know, it's not about following a particular formula of what you do. It is about whether it leads to those wholesome states. That's when you're going the right way. Yeah. Okay, anything else anybody want to bring up? Everybody happy? Okay, so let's call it a day here. Let's pay respects to Buddha Dhamma Sangha.